In the early hours of a snowy January morning, a Boston police officer is found lifeless in the cold. His girlfriend, Karen Reed, stands accused. But as the layers unfold, questions arise. Is she a cold-blooded killer or a scapegoat in a complex web of deceit? Join me, an investigative journalist, as I delve into the shadows of justice to uncover the truth behind the headlines. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. It was a morning thick with silence, the kind that only falls when snow blankets a suburban neighborhood before sunrise. I remember that day not because of what I saw, but because of what I was told, and what they refused to say. January 29, 2022. Canton, Massachusetts. At 6:04 a.m., a frantic 911 call came into Norfolk County Dispatch. A man had been found lying in the snow outside a residence on Fairview Road. Unresponsive. Cold to the touch. I replayed the audio of that call over and over again in my apartment, pen in hand, coffee gone cold beside me. The voice on the line wasn't just alarmed, it was soaked in panic. The man was John O'Keefe, a 46-year-old Boston police officer. Decorated, respected, a man many in the force called the Quiet Strength. Someone who'd taken in his niece and nephew after the death of his brother and who rarely missed a beat on duty. And the woman who found him was Karen Reed. She was his girlfriend. She'd said she'd dropped him off the night before outside the home of another Boston officer, Brian Albert, after a night of drinking. She couldn't remember if he'd gone inside. She couldn't remember if he said goodbye. The house, 34 Fairview Road, was one of those large suburban homes with the kind of presence that said someone here has connections. But on this morning, that house stood quiet. No movement inside. No one came out. Just a dead cop in the snow, and the woman who'd been with him hours earlier now screaming for help. I needed to understand what happened, and more importantly, what didn't happen. The first responders reported that John's body was face up. There were visible injuries to his head and arms. He had been lying in the snow, for what they estimated, hours. Hypothermia was immediately suspected. But the condition of his body raised other questions. The gash on his forehead. The bruises. The fact that his cell phone, later found in the snow, had dozens of unanswered messages. Later that day, I visited the scene. There were still faint blood traces in the snow. A few tire tracks. And broken glass. It was a neighborhood where nothing like this was supposed to happen. As I walked up and down the street knocking on doors, few people wanted to talk. One elderly woman, whose window overlooked the Albert residence, said she remembered seeing flashing lights early that morning. But she also mentioned something that stuck with me. I never saw anyone leave that house. Not all night. According to Karen Reed, she and John had been out drinking with friends on the night of January 28th. Surveillance footage and receipts confirm they visited multiple bars in Canton, including Waterfall Bar and Grill. Witnesses placed them there laughing. Toasting. After midnight, she drove him to the house at 34 Fairview. He was invited to a gathering, she said. But for reasons still unclear, she didn't walk him to the door. Didn't wait for him to get inside. Just drove off. By morning, he was dead. Now here's where things start to unravel. Karen Reed claimed she woke up disoriented with vague memories and a bad feeling. She said she began trying to contact John. When she couldn't reach him, she and two others, Jennifer McCabe and Carrie Roberts, went looking. It was Jennifer who allegedly used her phone to Google the phrase, "Hose, sick, long to die in cold." That search, made before they found the body, would become central to the prosecution's argument. And Karen's own words, captured in body cam footage, were chilling. Did I hit him? I don't know. I must have hit him. Was it a confession? Or a woman in shock trying to piece together a night clouded by alcohol and trauma? The autopsy conducted by Dr. Irene Scordibello concluded that Officer O'Keefe died from blunt force trauma to the head, along with hypothermia. She noted multiple injuries, lacerations, a swollen brain, and significant bruising. By February 1, Karen Reed was arrested. The charges: second-degree murder, motor vehicle manslaughter while operating under the influence, leaving the scene of personal injury and death. The theory, according to the Commonwealth, She struck John with her Lexus SUV while making a U-turn, possibly during an argument, and then left him to die in the snow. But Reed's defense had a different narrative. A chilling one. They claimed she was being framed, that the party inside the house that night held dark secrets, and that John never made it inside because he was attacked by someone else. Possibly mauled by a dog. That the powerful men inside that house closed ranks. Suddenly, this wasn't just a story about a car accident. It was a story about social manipulation, institutional silence, and the terrifying possibility that someone else inside that house knew the truth, and wasn't talking. In the following days, I tried to reach the Albert family for comment. No one answered the door. No one returned calls. But other things began to surface. Court records confirmed that multiple people were inside that house the night John was dropped off, including police officers, their spouses, and at least one person with a history of aggression. Why didn't anyone come forward? Why didn't anyone report seeing him that night? And perhaps more damning, why did no one at that party call 911? These aren't questions Karen Reed can answer alone. They're questions the entire system should be asking. As I left Fairview Road that evening, the wind had picked up. The snow was blowing sideways. And I kept thinking about something a forensic expert had told me. Bodies in the cold tell the truth. But only if you know what to ask. That's what this series is about. As an investigative journalist, I'm not here to exonerate or convict. I'm here to follow every step, every testimony, every broken silence, until the system blinks. Because if John O'Keefe was murdered, and if Karen Reed is innocent, then the truth is still in that house. And someone in that neighborhood is still lying. When I first began delving into the case of Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, I was struck not just by the tragedy of a life lost, but by the intricate tapestry of their relationship. A bond that, by many accounts, was as passionate as it was tumultuous. Karen Reed and John O'Keefe's paths first crossed in 2004 at a birthday party for John's sister. Karen, a financial analyst with a sharp mind and a sharper wit, was immediately drawn to John's quiet strength. Their initial romance was brief, as careers and life trajectories pulled them in different directions. But fate had other plans. Fast forward to the spring of 2020, amidst the global upheaval of the COVID-19 pandemic. A simple Facebook message from John rekindled their connection. "Hey, blast from the past. How's things?" Karen, navigating her own challenges, including health issues like Crohn's disease and multiple sclerosis, found solace in John's outreach. John, a dedicated Boston police officer, had recently taken on the role of guardian for his niece and nephew after the tragic loss of their parents. Karen stepped into this new family dynamic with grace, often staying at John's Canton home and forming bonds with the children. As their relationship deepened, so did the complexities. Friends noted moments of joy, family dinners, shared vacations, but also instances of tension. Karen, accustomed to a degree of independence, sometimes struggled with the demands of instant parenthood. John, balancing the pressures of his job and new familial responsibilities, occasionally clashed with Karen over parenting styles. In December 2021, during a trip to Aruba, Karen reportedly witnessed John in a compromising situation, which she interpreted as infidelity. This incident sowed seeds of doubt and mistrust. Text messages from that period reveal heated exchanges, with Karen expressing feelings of betrayal and John defending his actions. January 28, 2022, began like many others. Karen and John planned a night out with friends, visiting local bars in Canton. Surveillance footage and witness accounts confirmed their presence at the Waterfall Bar and Grill, where they socialized with acquaintances, including fellow officer Brian Albert. As the night progressed, tensions reportedly escalated. Witnesses recall Karen expressing frustration over John's lack of attention and perceived flirtations with others. Despite the underlying tensions, Karen drove John to Brian Albert's residence for an after-party. She claimed to have dropped him off and returned home, expecting him to follow later. The following morning, Karen awoke to find John absent. Panic set in. She reached out to friends, including Jennifer McCabe and Carrie Roberts, expressing concern over John's whereabouts. Together, they retraced the previous night's steps, leading them back to Brian Albert's home, where they discovered John's lifeless body in the snow. In the ensuing investigation, Karen's relationship with John came under intense scrutiny. Prosecutors highlighted the couple's volatile history, pointing to text messages and voicemails as evidence of a deteriorating relationship. The defense, however, painted a picture of a loving couple caught in a tragic misunderstanding, suggesting that external factors and possible foul play were at work. As I sift through the myriad of accounts, messages, and testimonies, one thing becomes clear. The relationship between Karen Reed and John O'Keefe was multifaceted, marked by deep affection and profound challenges. Understanding their dynamic is crucial to unraveling the events that led to that fateful January morning. January 28, 2022, began like many other Friday nights in Canton, Massachusetts. Karen Reed and John O'Keefe planned a night out with friends, visiting local bars and enjoying each other's company. The couple started their evening at the Waterfall Bar and Grill, a popular local spot. Witnesses recall seeing them in good spirits, sharing drinks and engaging in lively conversation. Surveillance footage confirms their presence at the bar, where they were joined by friends, including fellow officer Brian Albert. As the night progressed, tensions reportedly escalated between Karen and John. Witnesses noted that Karen appeared upset over John's interactions with others, leading to a visible strain between the couple. Despite this, they continued their evening, eventually deciding to attend an afterparty at Brian Albert's residence on Fairview Road. Karen drove John to the afterparty, with both reportedly still under the influence of alcohol. Upon arrival, Karen claimed she dropped John off in front of the house and returned home, expecting him to follow later. This account would later become a focal point of the investigation. The following morning, Karen awoke to find John absent. Concerned, she reached out to friends including Jennifer McCabe and Carrie Roberts, expressing worry over John's whereabouts. Together, they retraced the previous night's steps, leading them back to Brian Albert's home, where they discovered John's lifeless body in the snow. Emergency services were contacted immediately. John was pronounced dead at the scene, with initial reports citing blunt force trauma and hypothermia as contributing factors. Karen was arrested on February 1, 2022, and charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter while operating under the influence, and leaving the scene of a personal injury and death. The events of that night remain shrouded in mystery, with conflicting accounts and unanswered questions. As the investigation unfolds, the truth behind what happened on Fairview Road continues to elude both authorities and the public. In the immediate aftermath of John O'Keefe's death, the investigation into the circumstances surrounding his demise commenced. Authorities sought to piece together the events leading up to that fateful night, examining evidence and interviewing witnesses to determine the truth. Upon discovering O'Keefe's body outside 34 Fairview Road, investigators noted injuries consistent with blunt force trauma and signs of hypothermia. Pieces of a broken taillight were found near the scene, later identified as matching Karen Reed's SUV. Surveillance footage and witness statements were collected to establish a timeline of events. On February 1, 2022, Karen Reed was arrested and charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter while operating under the influence, and leaving the scene of a personal injury and death. She pleaded not guilty to all charges. The prosecution alleged that Reed had struck O'Keefe with her vehicle during a snowstorm after a night of drinking, leaving him to die in the cold. Reed's defense team argued that she was being framed and that O'Keefe's injuries were inconsistent with being struck by a vehicle. They suggested that he may have been assaulted inside the house at 34 Fairview Road and then placed outside. The defense pointed to potential misconduct by investigators and raised questions about the thoroughness of the initial. The case garnered significant attention in Canton, Massachusetts and beyond. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The community became divided, with debates about the integrity of the investigation and the possibility of a cover-up involving law enforcement officials. As the investigation unfolded, the complexities of the case became increasingly apparent. With conflicting narratives and a community on edge, the search for truth continued, setting the stage for a legal battle that would captivate the nation. April 1, 2025, marked the commencement of Karen Reed's second trial in the Norfolk Superior Court. The courtroom was charged with anticipation as both the prosecution and defense prepared to present their cases in the death of Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan, known for his role in the Whitey Bulger trial, led the prosecution. The state's narrative centered on the allegation that Reed, in an alcohol-fueled rage, intentionally struck O'Keefe with her SUV outside fellow officer Brian Albert's home, leaving him to die in the snow. Key evidence presented included fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed commenced in April 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed commenced in April 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed progressed into its final stages in June 2025, the defense presented its closing arguments, aiming to dismantle the prosecution's case and highlight inconsistencies in the investigation surrounding the death of Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe. A pivotal moment in the defense's case came with the testimony of snowplow driver Brian "Lucky" Loughran. He recounted driving past 34 Fairview Road multiple times between 2:40 and 6 a.m. on the morning O'Keefe's body was discovered. Loughran stated that he did not see a body in the snow during his rounds, challenging the prosecution's timeline that O'Keefe had been lying there for several hours. He also noted an unusually parked Ford Edge SUV in front of the house, which he found odd given the homeowner's typical parking habits. The defense introduced Dr. Marie Russell, a forensic pathologist specializing in dog bite injuries. She testified that the wounds on O'Keefe's arm were consistent with canine bites, supporting the defense's theory that O'Keefe was attacked inside the house before being placed outside. However, during cross-examination, the prosecution questioned the absence of dog DNA on O'Keefe's clothing, leading to a heated exchange and a denied motion for a mistrial by the defense. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever testified about her initial statement claiming to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV. However, on the stand, Dever retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys and fear of perjury charges. The defense alleged that Dever was coerced by fellow officers to change her testimony. Additionally, Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about a peculiar interaction between Reed and Jennifer McCabe on the night of the incident. Kalakithas described McCabe pulling Reed aside and insisting she leave with her, an exchange that struck her as unusual and memorable. Karen Reed's defense team made the strategic decision not to have her testify. This choice was influenced by concerns over the prosecution's use of her previous statements and interviews, which had been presented during the trial. Legal experts noted that while this decision could protect Reed from intense cross-examination, it also meant the jury wouldn't hear her direct account of the events. As the defense concluded its case, the courtroom braced for the jury's deliberation. The trial had unveiled a complex web of testimonies, forensic analyses, and allegations of misconduct, leaving the jury with the monumental task of discerning the truth amidst conflicting narratives. As the retrial of Karen Reed progressed into its final stages in June 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed progressed into its final stages in June 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed progressed into its final stages in June 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed. As the retrial of Karen Reed progressed into its final stages in June 2025, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The prosecution aimed to portray Reed as a woman scorned, while the defense painted a picture of a cover-up involving law enforcement. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan led the state's case, asserting that Reed, in a fit of rage, intentionally struck her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV outside a party at 34 Fairview Road in January 2022. The prosecution presented evidence including fragments of Reed's taillight found near O'Keefe's body, O'Keefe's DNA on the broken taillight, surveillance footage showing Reed consuming multiple cocktails on the night in question, testimony from a crash reconstruction expert indicating that Reed's SUV reversed at 74% throttle, suggesting a deliberate action. The prosecution also introduced a video clip of Reed expressing concern that she might have accidentally hit O'Keefe, stating, "What if I clipped him?" The defense, led by attorney Alan Jackson, countered with a narrative of a cover-up. They argued that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and his body was later placed outside. Supporting their theory, the defense presented testimony from a snowplow driver who did not see a body in the snow during his early morning rounds, challenging the timeline of O'Keefe's death. A dog bite expert who noted marks on O'Keefe's arm consistent with a canine attack, suggesting an altercation inside the house. Evidence of misconduct by lead investigator Trooper Michael Proctor, including inappropriate text messages and sharing confidential information, leading to his dismissal from the Massachusetts State Police. The trial featured testimonies from various witnesses. Former Canton Police Officer Kelly Dever, who initially claimed to have seen ATF agent Brian Higgins and Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz near Reed's SUV but later retracted her statement, citing pressure from defense attorneys. Karina Kalakithas, a friend of both Reed and O'Keefe, testified about Reed's state of mind and interactions on the night of the incident, noting odd behavior from another witness, Jennifer McCabe. The trial garnered significant public attention, with the community of Canton deeply divided. Supporters of Reed rallied outside the courthouse, while others believed in her guilt. The case became a media spectacle, with extensive coverage highlighting the complexities and controversies surrounding the investigation and trial. As the trial progressed, the courtroom became a battleground of conflicting narratives, each side presenting compelling arguments and evidence. The pursuit of truth in the death of John O'Keefe continued, with the jury tasked with unraveling the tangled web of events and determining the fate of Karen Reed.